Welcome to Highly Political, a podcast where two passionate ladies smoke weed, talk politics, laugh, and sometimes cry. With special guests from the world of comedy, cannabis, and politics.
We haven't worked on Capitol Hill, but that's okay. We're paying attention, and so should you.
We want you to be informed, like little democracy angels. So pack your bowl, grab some snacks, and let's get into it. And remember, when they go low, we get high. Today we're smoking Magic Melon, a sweet, citrusy delight. A new favorite for eye pressure, headaches, and making you feel all tingly.
The frozen and non-reinforced pipes of Texas must be feeling a bit tingly in the ice right now. What could have been prevented 10 years ago is now costing lives.
We have to take a deeper dive into the situation because as soon as Texas governor attacked the Green New Deal, we had to provide the facts.
The Supreme Court doesn't want to hear what went down this November in Pennsylvania, but has no problem weighing in on a woman's right to education, access, and choice.
All right, T, light it up.
I haven't spoke to joint in a minute.
Same here. I don't roll them. You're my joint roller.
Well, I have that little like rolling, not machine, but tool to help me roll them. I can't roll them like on my own.
I can't even use the tool, so don't even worry about it.
Well, I appreciate that boost of confidence for myself because a lot of people, when I tell them I can't roll, like to be very judgmental about it. Okay. All the judgment, but no lessons. I'm confused. I really wish you were here so you could smell this flower. I mean, look at it.
Oh, it looks so nice.
It's so good. It's called, it's called Magic Melon.
I know about melons.
It's citrusy and sweet. Oh, and I was looking at another flower and then I smelt this and I was like, sold.
I've been smoking whatever crusty ass weed I've had in the same jar for a month. So I wish I was over too.
You gotta do what you got to do, you know? Round in a year of quarantine. Yeah. No one's gonna judge me on the fact that I can't roll joints, and we're not gonna judge you on the fact that you have some dry ass old weed you're smoking. All that matters, you got weed and you smoke it. Okay.
That's true. That's the true. Oh my God. Do you remember that movie, Cloud Atlas? It was a Wachowski sister production.
I don't know if I ever watched it, but I do remember like when it came out.
Tom Hanks literally speaks like pigeon.
Tom Hanks does?
Yeah. Yeah. And Jim Sturgis is Japanese in one part of the film. Okay. Like Jim Sturgis from Across the Universe, the white guy, the white British guy.
Yeah.
He literally is Japanese. They make him look Japanese.
Okay.
Yeah. Critics across the board, you know, give it two thumbs down.
Sorry to see why I probably didn't see that one.
It was also like 15 hours long.
Oh my God.
It was, I mean, I don't know how long it was, like 3 hours. It was long though. It was,
I mean, I know it wasn't 15 hours long. I understood that was a gross exaggeration. I'm not that high yet.
How's it going, T? What's going on?
I mean, it's going good. I'm doing 30 days. Oh, you're on your whole 30. I'm doing 30 days no drinking.
Oh, nice.
Diving into this whole 30 thing. I'm creating my own health and lifestyle plan because if I try to adhere to like crazy strict routine that I didn't create, I will not succeed.
I had three planned cheat days for the month, and I'm extending my whole 30 a little bit more into March to like balance it out.
Nice.
And one of those cheat days was on Friday. I went to my girl Bree's house, and I drank just so much mezcal.
Oh, yeah.
Unreal. I threw up on the way home. I was driving. She lives in Huntington.
Seems unsafe.
It was a lot of traffic, so it was fine. But I went a full 40 minutes without any nausea. And then as soon as I got to LA, should I hit the fan?
Interesting.
Your dirty body fucking air.
Oh shit. Well, I'm sorry you got sick. I'm happy that you allowed yourself to have a cheat day and enjoy the mezcal.
Thanks. Well, Whole30 really making the case for sobriety, I gotta say. I felt like real trash the next day.
Yeah, it has been nice. Like, I'm not that far into like my 30 days, but you know, like this past weekend and the weekend before, it's been nice not to be hungover like on Sunday or Monday or something. Not even like, not like I'd be hungover crazy, but just, you know, you don't even feel like the sluggishness of having just a couple glasses of wine. And
oh, I was slugging. I went to bed at 9 p.m. the next day. I was like, gotta go. Bye, everybody. Gotta go.
Well, I hope you smoke more of that weed, because that's one thing I will, I couldn't do. Give up weed and alcohol at the same time would be, wouldn't be so pleasant. Wouldn't be a nice person.
Weed has none of the terrible side effects of alcohol.
Fair. I mean, I want to do like a tolerance break, but that's like just like a couple of weeks. I don't think I need to do a full 30 for that.
If I do any tolerance breaks, I'll have no tolerance at all.
Fair.
But see, a lot is going on. And I mean, you wouldn't know it if you came over to my house. Nothing's going on here. But the the world at large, things are going down. We got Texas still experiencing some.
Yeah, the aftermath now of all these winter storms, because it's warm. I think it was like in the 60s today, at least like in Dallas.
Okay. But, is Dallas right by Houston? Houston got it the worst, right?
Houston, I think, is a few hours from Dallas.
Okay.
Maybe even more, maybe like 4 or 5, because I know Austin is about 3 hours from Dallas. And so Houston, I think, is maybe like 4 or 5. I'm not 100% sure.
I want to jump right into this because Governor Abbott made it ridiculously political and started just went on Fox News and anybody would hear him and just spouted some bullshit. So we just have to talk about this.
Yeah. Damn new Green Deal. Way to destroy Texas.
Is fucking you guys, the Green New Deal has not passed in the Senate. Okay. So it doesn't exist right now.
Right. Right. That'd just be like if I was like blaming my unborn child in the future
I know.
For something that's happening right now.
And if you notice his language, one of his quotes is, this shows how the Green New Deal would be a deadly deal for the United States of America. So he's implying, you know, like we just said, that it hasn't been passed yet, but he's not really implying that. He's literally blaming the Green New Deal.
Yeah, and even like even if he's blaming or trying to make the assumption that, you know, oh, if we had the Green New Deal right now, it'd be far worse. But how, sir? Because what's been failing isn't renewable energy. That's not what Texas is like wired on. Like it just makes no sense from any way you kind of look at it. You know, there's no reasoning for why you would say that other than just trying to use this as a scapegoat to drive, like, you know, fear and propaganda.
Right. So he's essentially just blaming the Democrats, right, for what's going on in Texas. And he also kept talking about wind turbines. The wind turbines are frozen. So this is the form of renewable energy that's failing us. Y'all, you think our neighbors to the north, Canada, think their wind turbines aren't working in winter? You'd be wrong if you thought they weren't, because they are.
Yeah, and when you got those wind turbines, was it in 2010, after they had another like kind of extreme winter storm, they were, it was recommended to winterize them. And they're like, nah, not going to, not needed.
Yep. And only 13% of the outages were from wind turbines. And most of the outages came from pipes that were not weathered, as Tiana was saying, pipes that were frozen over.
Well, they didn't even weatherize the wind turbines either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Just everything. I mean, and I can understand, like, I know sometimes I think people don't understand like what the phrase in case of emergency means, you know. It means like, yeah, we understand that this may never happen. It's like, it may never happen. But in case of emergency, it would be best if you winterized your pipes, but I just, I don't, I just, I really feel bad for all these people that had to deal with the consequences of negligence like this.
Yep. And okay. So then, so there, I think the Democrats are also using like unfair language a little bit with the climate change. I mean, first of all, Sam's opinion aside, I'm riding. I'm screaming, it's climate change from the rooftops. Okay. But if I was a politician going straight to it, because technically scientists are still in a kind of debate if climate change actually does cause these polar vortexes. However, there's, it's still in like the DNA of climate change. It's still a piece of the puzzle on climate change, but things they can draw direct correlations to are more tsunamis, more rainfall, ice melting, growing seasons longer.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because of the heat and the ice caps one day fully melting.
Sorry, I just laugh because Sam's face is just, that's, you guys, I'm telling you, if Sam becomes dictator of this world, he'll fucking go to jail for life. If I look at it, think of a straw.
If I become dictator, the whole world is going to become like that frozen bar, that frozen tourist bar you go to and everything's frozen. And you drink, then you drink the crappy cocktails, but they're, it's 0 degrees, so they still taste good.
Oh my god!
I'm gonna reverse the heating, make it all ice.
Okay, I know that's a solution.
Just kidding. I love a jungle. I love.
Yeah,
a
I think
forest.
You should consult the scientist. You know, in your cabinet. But I don't know.
However, for polar vortexes that have happened for many years, scientists say that warming in the Arctic, where temperatures are rising faster than anywhere else on the planet, may be weakening the jet stream that typically keeps cold air deep in the northern hemisphere. A weakened jet stream allows freezing air to drift down to lower latitudes. So they do think that this is a possibility. So I'm saying climate change. Right. But Chuck Schumer and like the Republicans, I mean, the Democrats, it's smart to say this, you know, they have to accept climate change. They have to accept climate change, when really it's part of that puzzle, but they just need to be prepared.
Yeah.
And that in just do your job. And then Abbott is going after ERGOT, which is the regulatory board.
Yeah. That owns. Yeah. Because did you see people are getting like crazy electricity bills, like almost $5,000?
Yeah.
The price of a kilowatt of electricity went from like around 12 cents per kilowatt to $9. Oh. Like the fuck? And some people didn't even realize that they're on that type of electricity payment plan. So if you do like a variable rate, it basically charges you like a rate based on like what the, I guess like the average rate of a kilowatt is at that time. So normally it's cheaper to kind of do that. But then obviously in situations like this, you get, you know, the short end of the stick. And a lot of people were on like 12 months fixed rate contracts, but they don't realize that at the end of your 12 month fixed rate, it like rolls over into a variable rate contract in some instances. So some people might be like freaking really surprised, be like, wait.
I've been seeing that. Yeah. And I mean, I guess that's one of the negatives of Texas being its own grid.
Yeah.
I listened to a few podcasts. I read a few articles. Inherently, Texas having their own grid is not necessarily awful.
Right.
Or, you know, however, they just lose out on things like shared available energy within the states.
Right.
And that's where, I mean, prices went so up because, you know, there's no regulation, right? So if an emergency happens, these companies can do that. And that was the whole reason Texas did this. They didn't want any regulation. And that's why Abbott immediately was going after ERGOT, because he is so anti-regulation. And he's saying, oh, they're not even doing their job regulating the pipes. However, ERGOT's power in the state, I mean, basically the companies in Texas are more so in charge, and they can skirt around things. Democrats are also getting on ergot. I don't know if that's like the new scapegoat, but
a commodity like electricity and heat shouldn't be privatized like this. It's just
right.
I just,
but it always just... will be. That would be, that'd be a funny campaign. Like Tiana's running for president, and your first platform is like oil and gas are a right.
I don't know if that.
What do you mean?
I don't know if that'd be my first platform, but
yeah,
I'm not that passionate about it.
It'd just be funny if that was a candidate's number one. Everybody's like, yeah, yeah, okay.
Well, just I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a certain level of like the your right to the pursuit of like happiness, right? If you can't, just the fact that look how detrimental it was for people to lose power and heating, and people lost their lives, and now that the people that who had who were lucky enough to still have power during all of this now are getting hit with like $5,000 plus bills, it just it doesn't seem right. And it also just says so much about, I mean, what these companies can like, how they can like terrorize you, you know, just shut off right. your power and electricity just because. I don't know, it's just, it's pretty fucked.
I agree. Luckily, in California, it's a pretty heavily regulated state. I mean, luckily is there's a lot of red tape here, but mm-hmm. I don't think my electric bill is not going to be $5,000 next month, you know, no matter what happens.
Right, right. Can you imagine there's an earthquake and then your bill goes up to $5,000? I don't know. It just makes you, reminds me how just fragile we are. You know, you get so caught up in the luxuries of like, you know, your computer and the internet and heat, and you just realize like how, I guess, maybe unprepared you are when you see like what goes through. Because like if an earthquake hit us right now, I'd be pretty fucked. I don't got that much like water.
You know what I've been fantasizing about since the pandemic and now this like Houston news? I've been fantasizing about a goddamn panic room.
Okay.
Having one in my house.
Where is this going? I was like, please tell me you're not fantasizing about an earthquake, because that's fucking weird, dude.
Oh no, that would be psychotic.
Have you been in an earthquake?
Yeah.
Okay. a panic room. Yeah, that would
just
be
with
dope.
You know, some beans, water.
So in your fantasy, all that's in your panic room is beans and water. It's a fantasy. You can come up with anything you want, and you say
beans and water. And water.
You've been on the whole 30 for too long. You can't even have beans, bitch. What are you talking about?
I know. I miss them. I miss the beans. I miss those beans.
Yeah, my panic room would have a little more than beans and water, but yeah, that would be nice. Just like a safe space.
Oh, yeah. You know? So,
you gotta make sure there's dog food for Jacqueline and Arfi. That's the other thing. It's like, sometimes I'm like, fuck, if they're, like when I make a, I gotta do like a emergency kit. I gotta make sure there's like dog food in there.
I was thinking about that as part of my panic attack room. My panic attack room. I will probably be having panic attacks in my panic room.
I was gonna say, you just, I feel like this is like a therapy session, like something just came out subconsciously. My panic attack room. My panic attack.
That's
room
just
my bedroom.
That's just the inside of my head all year. All year long, baby.
Oh shit.
Abbott is up for re-election next year.
Oh, is he?
And the thing is, you get more political capital by actually, but instead of being preventative by reacting to a tragedy, because humans are dumb and we don't appreciate things like that. But Abbott is not handling this well. So hopefully somebody could swoop in, and it's probably going to be Beto. I don't want it to be, but I hope he can really convince the people. And somebody who... What was that?
I was gonna say, he's out there like doing more work than,
no, I like it.
People he lost to.
I like it. I agree. I just don't think he could win.
But no, I agree. I agree with you on that. I mean, but I just thinking about our first episode when we were talking about how much Beto loves posting pictures of food.
How far he's come.
Did you see AOC raised $4 million for Texas?
Oh shit, girl. Oh, doing what? What?
Like just like crowd fundraising. She like put up a thing like, we're going to raise money for Texas, $4 million. Nice. She went down to Houston, went with a couple of the Democratic reps from out there to the Houston Food Bank. And I believe the money's going towards organizations that help feed people, homeless organizations, something for like the elderly and all that.
Damn, I have not given any money to Texas now.
Yeah,
I mean,
as well.
Gotta do it, especially the elderly. Someone who is not up for re-election next year is Ted Cruz. He's not up for re-election until 2025. So he was like, they're not going to remember. I'm going to go to Cancun.
I can't even believe, I mean, I can, but it's just like the audacity to think that nobody was going to notice that you were in Cancun, Ted Cruz. Nobody's going to notice you at the motherfucking airport. Like, are you kidding me?
I mean, Ted Cruz thinks he's so untouchable.
And then just like the bullshit, like the he like handled it. It was like 12 hours from when like the social media like shitstorm started of people seeing those pictures before he released that little shit bullshit statement being like, I was trying to be a good dad and, you know, escort my daughters to Mexico for like a trip with their friends and blah, blah, blah.
He was the only one flying. So how would he escort them?
Well, his wife and his daughter were in some of the pictures too.
Oh, they were all there.
Yes, wife. And then...
I thought he was going down to meet Heidi and the kids.
No, so then they went down there. So he put out this bullshit statement. Like, I was only planning on going for one day. I was always planning on coming back today, blah, blah, blah. And then New York Times released an article of text messages that his wife like sent like people in their neighborhood, like their friends being like, is anybody else like freezing in their house? Like, we're thinking of going down to Cancun, like at the Ritz. It's only like 3-something-something a night. We've been there before. It's like great security. You just have to get a COVID test blah, blah, blah. So then it like showed like, hey, this wasn't just a, you know, spur of the moment like thing. And then when the Houston police, I'm not sure, maybe it was Houston police, said that, you know, that the Ted Cruz's people reached out to him for escort at the airport on that Wednesday going there. And so, you know, all this shit happened. So they're like, yo, you need to come back to fucking Texas because I don't know. Yeah. Surprisingly, everyone's upset about this.
Didn't they leave their dog? They left their poodle
home? Then he came back. And then when he got, then while he was coming back, the shit came out about the text messages proving like, hey, this wasn't just like a spur of the moment thing. So then he basically was like, yeah, I was supposed to stay through the weekend, but as soon as I got on the plane, I realized this is a bad idea.
So oh, you realized once you were plane, on the plane?
One of my friends posted like or shared an article about this, and his caption was, so when his country's infrastructure failed, Ted Cruz took his family and crossed the border seeking safety and a better life. Sounds familiar.
That is the best tweet of the year, whoever, whatever that is.
That's my friend Emmanuel posted that as a status. He's also a newly citizen to this country. Nice. From Indonesia. But some reporter or some guy went to like Ted Cruz's house and saw his dog in the window, a little poodle named Snowflake. Okay. And I guess the guy who was like guarding Ted Cruz's house said he was responsible for like feeding and taking care of it. But like, was the heat still off in your house? Like,
yeah.
Electricity still off? What's going on? Snowflake's just in there, just chilling, big chilling alone with some man just coming in, throwing some kibble at it and then bouncing.
Poor Snowflake.
Yeah. So fuck you, Ted Cruz. Always and forever. Every day I wake up and think, fuck you, Ted Cruz. And before I go to bed, I think, fuck you, Ted Cruz.
Every day I think of that shitty haircut.
Oh my God.
I'm so happy that you have it.
He's infuriatingly annoying. I can't stand
And surprisingly,
him.
He's not even our kook of the week. he didn't even make the cut. There was someone a little more outrageous.
It's the crazy old kook of the week. Why you gotta be so fucking crazy?
Our kook of the week is Tim Boyd, who is the, I guess, former mayor, because he resigned, of Colorado City, Texas. And citizens of his town, his constituents, were getting anxious, and they were posting in a Facebook group asking if they were going to be like more heat centers, what's going to be happening to the community, any updates, et cetera, et cetera. Tim Boyd chimed in on the old Facebook and said, basically, only the strong will survive.
Oh my God.
He also said, no one owes you or your family anything. Tim Boyd wrote on Tuesday in a now deleted Facebook post.
Mayor of the city. Remember,
I'm sick and tired of people looking for a damn handout. Which also, Boyd's tirade, which also demanded that lazy residents find their own ways of procuring water and electricity. Okay, yeah. How am I supposed to find a way to get electricity? Are Texas public schools that good? You teach your kids how to find electricity?
Just get like a Ouija board and summon Nikola Tesla or some shit. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do, sir?
Anybody who has like a, you know, a seventh grade student, hey, you're science fair. you do those two batteries and you get a wire. What can we do for the house?
To say that your city, your elected officials don't owe you electricity and heat is just so fucked. Like, then what are you here for? Like, I'm sorry, is this like, what, sir? Why did we vote for you if you don't care about anybody but yourself?
Right. Later on Tuesday, Boyd announced his resignation and admitted that he could have used better wording. To convey what? How else would you convey that?
When I read that excuse and that he basically didn't like regret like what he said, yeah, that he just used wrong wording, and then somebody else, like that knew him, kind of was like, yeah, I think he just, you know, said it in the wrong way. I was like, what? How, you said, how could you say this in a way that isn't just you're a fucking asshole with no empathy whatsoever or understanding of what the average constituent in your town faces?
What would be a nice way of saying that, you know, please, residents of the town that you voted me to be in charge of, go forth and forge for yourself.
I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I must inform you that if you are seeking guidance, shelter, or help from me, you will find nothing. It is not my responsibility nor my wish to heed to your request at all. Only God will choose who survives. Thank you. Goodbye.
And it's so funny. It's as he's kind of what I'm getting from this, what he's saying on this message board, it seems he's sick and tired of what? Polar vortexes coming and your residents need shelter and warmth? What are you sick of?
And it's also like, I mean, you're just like playing into this bullshit mindset of like, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, and you got to struggle. You got to work hard, as if people have, quote unquote, worked harder, the snowstorm would have passed their house and gone to like the unemployed person who's like collecting welfare, you know, like, what, sir? Like, I'm confused. What is it that I should have done to prevent this? And then just like, you know, you need to provide for your own family and this and that. I just like, how can you be a government official if that's your mindset?
Exactly.
You know, like, what's it called again when you're anti-government? Why can't I think of the
libertarian?
Yeah. Like, so are you a libertarian? Then I'm confused. Why are you a mayor? The main function.
That's an excellent point, actually.
What, I'm confused, you know, just like on the city, even like if you was like a board member or something, I'd still be like, again, why are you a board member? But you're the whole ass mayor of this town. It's literally one of your key functions to fucking care what happens to people in this town.
You know, perhaps this was his way of bringing libertarianism to Colorado City, Texas.
Yeah, I mean, if they got that fucked off of being on their own grid during a polar vortex, like, fuck a libertarian, like, lifestyle. Can you imagine?
Like, no, I'm not. I don't want that. I don't want it.
I don't want it. I don't need it.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. But, yeah, I mean, this wind turbine, new green stuff is just, like, a complete distraction. Even though it's kind of not, right? Because part of acknowledging climate change is taking the steps to be preventative in general.
Right.
So I guess, you know, the Democrats aren't too hasty with their talking points. It just is all, you know, just kind of, I think I was so sick of of no nuance the past 4 years in government. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to revert. I don't want to keep going on that path.
I think that's,
you know,
I get that. No, I think that's fair. I think it's important to, I mean, because I think it's easy to just hear sound bites and clips, right? And mm-hmm. so to take the step further to see, okay, well, what are scientists actually saying about what's happening in Texas and what it means for climate change and you know, all that stuff. So I got you. And I appreciate you bringing it to the pod because I didn't know about them jet streams.
Yeah, no problem. I'm here to scare everybody about climate change. I'm here to instill fear. I'm here to guilt you. I'm here to shame you.
Yeah, this bitch guilts me. You have no idea. There's been so many times like I'm going to make an option, just like small things like, okay, I'm getting a drink to go. I'm already getting a drink to go. I know it's already like bad. I know, but I need a drink. I don't have a to-go container. It's COVID life. I need to just get it to go. So I know that's bad. But then I offset it by not getting a lid.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that helps, right?
That helps. Okay. That helps. That helps.
And a lot of times it's when I'm walking and, you know, I spill a lot of drink because there's no lid. But as you know that my life. Face is all sticky from the juice. I think about the fact that a bunch of fucking turtles aren't choking on a straw or a lid. So, you know, it's the little things.
Thank you, too. Namaste.
Yo, Sam, holy shit. I can't believe I forgot. Did you see about how they were saving sea turtles in Texas?
What?
Yes, because the waters were so cold that it like stuns them. And then it can cause them to stop like swimming. And then it like, you know, it's dangerous. I wish I had the article in front of me right now, but it was almost over like 4,000 turtles that they were saving. And it was also dangerous because, you know, the places they were taking them had no electricity. So it was just, it was like a lot, but they were able to save a lot of turtles. And oh. I just, again, it's just one of those things that's so interesting because I think when any type of disaster or catastrophic event happens, you know, you look at the like the big picture of what's happening, but then you start thinking of the small nuances of like, yeah, of course that's gonna fuck with the turtles. Like, why yeah. would I didn't think of, I don't even think about turtles in Texas. Like, that never comes together. So again, to our crazy old kook of the week, sir, I don't think you're thinking about the motherfucking nuances. Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay, how are turtles gonna pull themselves up by their bootstraps?
They have no feet.
You can't grip. Fins can't grip anything.
How's a turtle going to go and find electricity? I wonder.
You know, I don't know. I guess find like a electric eel.
Okay. Oh my God. Oh, yo. And then you sent me that I don't know what you sent me, but Meghan McCain was complaining about, bro, she's so annoying.
She is literally insufferable. She is the
Joy hates her and I love it.
She's like the textbook definition of I can't understand what you're saying and the importance of it until I personally go through it. And now I am just so aghast that this exists. Even people have been telling me about it for years and years.
Right.
It's like, shut up, Megan. Yeah, she was like, I mean, how is it that I, Meghan McCain, host of The View, cannot tell you when I'm going to get my COVID vaccine? I was like, because you're Meghan McCain, host of The View. Why the fuck should you know when you're going to get your COVID vaccine? Do you think what you're doing is essential?
Bitch,
being annoying?
Bitch, you work for a company that can afford to buy you all different COVID houses if they wanted to. And you all just live in a COVID house. Yeah.
And somehow it's Fauci's fault because, you know, her age, she was like, you know, in my age group, which is not an endangered age, and I'm not like a high risk, you know, community. It's just ridiculous that no one can tell me when I'm going to get my vaccine. It's like, do you hear the words that are coming out of your mouth? Like the words and the tone you have, like, are not matching, ma'am. Okay. Like, you don't get to be this incredulous about the fact that a healthy woman, middle-aged woman, is going to be last in line to get the vaccine. Duh, hello. And somehow we should fire Fauci and get somebody who understands, quote unquote, science, she said. We need to fire Fauci and get someone who understands science, is what she said.
I think she means privilege. We need to, who's somebody who understands privilege and who I need to get mine.
So yeah, fuck that bitch too, because that shit was wild. I was just, again, the 100% seriousness as she says this outlandish bullshit was just blowing my mind. That at the end, we all should be like, oh, did you hear Meghan McCain doesn't know when she's going to get her COVID vaccine? Like, Meghan, fuck you, bitch. I'm worried about Tiana Jones.
She's okay? 36. She's not remotely in any.
No, at all. Not close. And I mean, but that's the thing, Sam. She literally said that as she went on this rant about how she was so upset. That's what I'm saying. Like, Meghan, are you listening as you're speaking?
I just watched the clip. Did Joy or Whoopi tell her to shut the fuck up and backhand her, or what happened?
I just saw the clip. I didn't see any of their reactions, but I assumed it was very much like mine, which
I'm gonna have to. Oh, okay. Co-host slammed for privilege and nepotism. Okay, cool. Cool. Oh, somebody's fire Meghan McCain. All right. I mean, I would love to see her not on The View, but I'm not going to call for her to be fired because she made some privileged bitch made a stupid privileged ass statement.
She also went like on a rant recently too about maternity leave and how it's like so ridiculous that she, you know, couldn't get more maternity leave, this and that. But before it was something that she didn't really see as like an issue or something. But now she had like a baby, which I get. I understand that when something happens to you, it makes you more empathetic because now you've
That is literally the fucking name of the game with Republicans. It's just like when Reagan had Alzheimer's, then Nancy Reagan was open to stem cell research. It's fucking... Yo, somebody tweeted, great tweet, whoever you are, Terry Kate B. Diddy 94404 added, nepotism isn't exactly an essential worker.
Not with this administration.
No. That's such a good point.
But yeah, fuck her. I mean, there's like the audacity and privilege to be able to go on TV and say something like that and not realize what you're saying is hella stupid.
I need to watch the episode and just watch, see if they cut to Joy.
Joy probably was like, oh my God, okay, Meghan, what?
and so the Supreme Court, some stuff's going on there. They decided on three cases. They are not going to hear the election appeal by Republicans in Pennsylvania. I don't know if you guys remember, everything's such a blur, but during November 4th, when Trump was still president, because of COVID, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania ruled that people with mail-in ballots or who doing their ballots at home or something had 72 more hours to mail in their ballots. So basically an essential delay on the election. So Republicans in the state sued. Supreme Court of Pennsylvania did not take up their case. They dismissed it or overturned it, whatever. And so then it goes to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, nah, we're not going to hear it. It is a little scary because, say, if, you know, this would be in Texas and there's a judge, a Trump-appointed judge who is a wackadoo and could be the deciding factor on elections. Like, it's scary to me that appointed judges from political parties can say, I mean, it happened to work in our favor this time. You know, and we would have won the case. The numbers wouldn't have made a difference anyway in the election. They were like, nah, the election's over. Like, Biden won, whatever. But also, it's a little scary precedent.
I mean, is that the only reason why they said they didn't want to hear it? Or is it because...
No, I don't know why they didn't. I think they just said they wouldn't be hearing it.
Yeah, because to me, it sounds like, you know, because of COVID, they had to make the extension. So it was an essential extension. So it just... the lawsuit has no merit to begin with. So why would you even hear it? So I don't, it doesn't scare me as much, but I just think it's, I think it's just more ridiculous that, that again, that the argument is we're making ways, making it safer and easier for people to vote. Therefore, that is a problem, you know?
Right. Yeah.
like no, sir. Like, I just, I mean, I understand all about voter suspension and like that's part of the game and shit, but it's just, I just think it's so funny that we're supposed to be a democracy and every vote counts. And again, it's like, you have to even register to vote and that it's not a holiday. Like, why was Columbus Day a fucking holiday, but not election day?
Oh, also, I think Pennsylvania, I think they were one of the states that said, oh, you have to do an extra envelope or something, a secrecy ballot envelope.
Right.
Making it even more cumbersome.
Ridiculous.
The Supreme Court will hear, however, of course, an abortion case. Neil, Amy, and, you know, whatever beer rapist guy, they were put there for a reason.
Brett, good old Brett.
Yeah. So this is about the gag rule. So basically it it's like a whole, it's a whole mess of things. It stops funding for agencies that provide abortion, government funding for agencies that provide abortions, even if they provide other medical care like Planned Parenthood that provides preventative care and other checkups and screenings that are very important for women's health. It also defunds programs about choice and abortion around the world, you know, like with our, with our budget for, I don't know, the, maybe not the UN, but, you know, aid we give to foreign nations and stuff. So taking away the, even the knowledge, the learning about it is like the gag rule. Cause you don't learn about it and you can't talk about it.
Right.
And basically it's kind of a pain in the ass because it's a flip flop. So a Republican will sign the rule again, and then a Democrat won't, you know, so Biden's trying to overturn it. But it's all a matter of time or something. So if Biden can't overturn it in time, the Supreme Court could rule on it. The gag rule around the world, without the aid of us, I think it's like 26 million women. It affects 26 million women who like don't have a abortion access.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. It's insane. I don't love Biden's take on abortion at all. But I hope that he behaves progressively. He was a big fan of the Hyde Amendment, which is also, you know, takes away federal funding of abortion. And then recently his press secretary, a Catholic network, asked a question about abortion or maybe even this law. And, his press secretary says something like, you know, Biden's a devout Catholic, and then kind of ended it at that. It's like, how do I hear that?
Yeah.
Devout Catholics didn't get you into this office, sir.
Yeah. And like, what the fuck does that have to do with shit?
Exactly.
Separation of church and state, I thought. The fuck?
Yeah.
They don't get an abortion.
And Trump expanded this even more. So, so basically, do you know those emergency pregnancy centers where you go in and you're duped and you're tricked if you're having an abortion? Tiana, you don't know about these.
No, emergency pregnancy centers are called.
It's called like a planned pregnancy center or like something family.
Something that like to trick people to think they're going to like people. A Planned Parenthood or something.
Yeah, they think it's like a Planned Parenthood type situation, but it's really, you know, a crazy Christian-led coalition, and they try to talk you out of having an abortion.
That's so fucked up.
Okay, so Trump expanded the gag rule even further, where his administration provided funds for those centers around the world and other countries,
Sam.
Overseas. Yes.
No.
Yep, sure did.
So mad.
U.S. funding of international abortion. Yeah.
So they took away funding to talk about, like, for places that provided or gave education around, you know, having an abortion or different options when it comes to contraception. Yeah. But then they gave money to creeps tricking people, luring them in, and then accosting them.
Basically.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that's what was going on. Mm-hmm. That's fucked up. And I hate it.
Yep. So, I mean, I'm really nervous about that. I don't really understand what the timing of it all, but the administration can do something in time, I'm pretty sure. I don't know what red tape that looks like. I don't know what hoops they have to jump through, but the Supreme Court's seeing that.
Fuck. You know, though, that actually makes me think of, on a positive note, our Queen of the Week.
Queen of the Week. Queen of the Week. It's the Queen of the Week.
Is a meme account named Quentin Quarantino. The man behind this account's name is actually Tommy Marcus. He started the meme account Quentin Quarantino about a year ago when we thought we were going to go into a 2-week quarantine. And I think he said he was going to post like a COVID meme like every half hour or some shit for like the 2 weeks. And then, you know, now here we are. And the Instagram account has like turned into more of like a political kind of meme kind of account. I guess in his bio, he describes himself as like a leftist scumbag or something.
Love it.
But anyway, to celebrate the death of Rush Limbaugh, he
Rush is dead.
He decided that he was going to make a donation to Planned Parenthood, you know, in honor of Rush, you know, despite that asshole. So on February 17th, he posted a picture of a $100 donation. Inspired by that, some of his followers started making donations himself and, you know, posted the same thing. So he's like, all right, like, let's, like, our goal, we're going to fucking raise $10,000 for Planned Parenthood. By Saturday, February 20th, he has raised over $1 million for fucking Planned Parenthood. Because everybody's like, fuck you, Rush Limbaugh. He told Vice that the campaign was meant to, you know, scoff at Limbaugh, claiming that the talk show host spent, quote unquote, decades clogging the airways with sexist, homophobic, racist, endlessly discriminatory propaganda. And that to him, he was really the embodiment of Trump's America of hatred, the division of what we see in the country right now. So he did it. He said it. And then he tweeted, if Rush Limbaugh was so pro-life, then why did he die and posthumously raise $1.1 million for Planned Parenthood? And then Planned Parenthood tweeted, you know, obviously they were super happy, and they tweeted in all caps, "You are amazing. In the last few days, people from all over the country have raised more than $1 million for Planned Parenthood at the request of Quentin Quarantino. Whether you're a patient, a first-time donor, just hearing about our work, or a longtime supporter, thank you." So beautiful. Thank you, Rush, for finally kicking the motherfucking bucket and exiting this realm. About time. And
bye, bitch.
Inspiring everybody to, you know, make some money for a good cause. So fuck your gag orders. Quentin Quarantino's got us. Okay. 1.1 mil coming your way, Planned Parenthood. And I'm going to find these little centers where they're tricking people. I'm going to pretend I'm pregnant. I'm going to find one of those places. And then I'm going to fucking like reverse catch them.
Tiana's going to snatch girls in the bathroom. Like, they're going to be on their way. And she's like, no, come in here.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, that's a good idea. I should pretend like I'm interested to work there. Yeah. I totally want to help, like, you know, make people feel terrible in a really hard time. Like, that's like one of my favorite things to do. They're like, great, you're hired. So I start working there undercover. And then women come in. I'm like, oh, hey, you want to come look at this book of babies? Bring them to the corner. I'm like, just kidding, we're out of here. Drive them to Planned Parenthood. I'm sure Planned Parenthood could like fund something with some of this $1.1 million.
Nice.
Something like that, you know? Something like that. That
sounds like a great, so you're moving into a new career. So
I guess so. I guess this might be my last podcast.
Oh my God. Well, let us know what's going to happen.
I have to move to like Oklahoma and like protect some women from some creeps trying to.
A noble cause. And I would support you if you decided to do that.
Thank you. I appreciate your support. Like I would support you if you wanted to become environmental terrorist, because I understand your passions.
Thanks, girl. Because you know what I do. I absolutely do. I mean, yeah, I guess that's all I wanted to talk about today. It was a little, it's a busy, busy week.
Busy week. A lot going on in this world. You know, I mean, I feel like next up, there are some things that I think we should kind of talk about that I'm kind of disappointed with some things with Biden already.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's like, I guess disappointed is not really the right word, because it's not like I, you know, like I didn't vote for Biden because I was like, yes, Biden, right. This is going to be the best. But, you know, so
I will say that I've been reading up some stuff too, and he's caught up in a lot of red tape. I gotta say.
Okay.
We can talk about that next week.
Yeah. Let's do it, because I got my eye on you, Biden.
Yeah, I mean, samesies.
We got our eye on you.
Yeah, we got a fucking eye on you, my dude.
It might not be a rageful eye like we had on Trump. This eye is actually a little more dangerous, because it's a little more focused. When we're rageful, we're not as focused. Our passions are running a little wild.
We're zooming in a little bit, you know? We're zooming in. Because we don't have the default every... The thing is, I gave Trump no benefit of the doubt once ever for 4 years. I'm going to say I don't give a shit. So I didn't care. Anytime he proposed a new policy, no.
That's fair.
I know it's going to be bad. I know it's going to be bad. And, you know, like, you know, 90% of the time they were very bad.
Can you imagine the crazy fucking tweets that would be popping off right now after the Supreme Court said, yeah, no, they can, New York can grab Trump's tax returns, no problem. How fucking crazy. He must be pissed.
I want to somehow trick a bunch of QAnon Trump people the type of people who you storm the Capitol. I'm going to trick them into like all thinking they won a weekend at Mar-a-Lago.
Okay, listen.
And then having them all go there, and then Trump turns them away.
When I'm undercover at the fake pregnancy center, I'm sure like all my coworkers would be into something like that.
Okay.
So this can be like a 2-for-1, 2 birds, 1 stone type of undercover operation. I'm just saying. So just let me, oh my God.
Operation Mar-a-Lago. It's a go.
My fucking dad enters.
Oh my God.
I'm like, wait, how did this went awry way too quickly?
Father, what are you doing in Oklahoma?
All right, y'all. Like, subscribe, follow. You know, we're at @highly_political. And as always, thank you for smoking.
Coming on in. Listening up.
Have a good week.